Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy-Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer-songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have Donna Sager-Cowan back as my guest for Live Your Music today. We will be talking about courage, curiosity, momentum, and her book, With the Curiosity of a Cat. Welcome, Donna.
Well, thank you, Margot. I am so excited to be with you today to talk about my second book in a series with the Superhero School series.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you back to talk about it, too, though, because, I enjoyed having you on my show last year to talk about book one, which was With the Courage of a Mouse. Excuse me. And then I got so curious to read, speaking of curious, I got so curious to read With the Curiosity of a Cat afterwards, you know, because I got to the end of the first book and I wanted to know what was going to happen next. And also, of course, I have a cat, so, you know, that's part of the reason why the cat one really appealed to me as well. But, oh my gosh, you have such an imagination and the way you tell stories, all these characters, it's just incredible.
Well, thank you. You know, I absolutely love what I do. I love writing these stories and telling these stories because it is a passion for me. And in telling it to children, it's, you know, it's a kind of a sneaky way to teach them some life lessons, but they don't really realize it because we're on this big, grand adventure story with, you know, Cat the Cat and Simon Cheddar the Mouse as they're going to superhero school. So I just absolutely love the idea of this book series, and I have so much fun just writing it and dreaming up the most wildest things that I can make my characters do.
And you do come up with some really wild things. That's part of what keeps me fascinated with it is that I don't know what's going to happen next. And now I'm already curious what's going to happen in the third book and what the title of the third book's going to be. So,
Well, we'll get that. We'll get to that in a few minutes because I'm going to tell you all about book three. It's coming out this November. So I am so excited. I'm in the final stages of getting that one ready for the November release. But I'll at least let you know what the title is. It's With the Passion of a Pig.
The Passion of a Pig. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about is that one of the things I love about the book is that the superhero school has all these different animals in it. And it's a... I love how the animals get along with each other and help each other and use their strengths. So tell us a little bit about the animals that are in the books.
Well, I actually, when I began writing this series, it was purposeful on my part to use animals because what I wanted for children, after doing a lot of background research, was I was finding a lot of kids didn't want to read different books and series because they couldn't see themselves in the characters. Now, there are different reasons for that, but a lot of it was, you know, diversity in books that are available. So I didn't want them to automatically look at this book and say, that's not me. So we switched it to animals to give them kind of that separation where they can see themselves in their actions, in their traits, in their mannerisms, rather than looking at, you know, the color or the stature or, you know, the culture that they're living in. They are animals, mm-hmm. So their culture is so much different. But I love that because the main purpose of this series is to teach, you know, about acceptance, about friendship, about inclusion, about diversity, about being together with people who bring out the best in you.
Oh, and you do that so beautifully in these stories. It just,
no.
You know, and I tell you, that's what we need right now in this world is we need more inclusion. We need people to realize that being different from each other is good because we each have our own strengths. And the books are so much about teamwork as well, you know, about using each other's strengths and working as teams.
Well, yes, that is the whole point is, you know, I want them to look at the people surrounding them and see what it is that they can bring to their circle of friends, because we're all like little puzzle pieces, excuse me, in this grand tapestry of life. And we fit together in truly unique ways. We all have something unique about us. We have something that we can offer. You know, in looking at specifically just the two main characters, Simon Cheddar and Cat the Cat, Simon is kind of full of life, full of himself, very self-assured. He's ready with a plan, ready to take action at a moment's notice. And Cat's not. Cat's a little more afraid, and she's a little unsure, and she wants to think things through and sort them out in her head. So what we have is kind of two polar opposites, but they are stronger together because Cat kind of brings Simon down from this, you know, jump at a moment's notice without a real plan.
Uh-huh.
And then Simon kind of brings Cat forward out of her fear a little bit to be a little more spontaneous. So they are so much better together with their different strengths. And this is kind of the main point of the Superhero School series. We all have a superpower inside of us if we will just allow it to shine through and not fall into this kind of comparison trap. Well, I don't have this, I don't have that. But you know what? You have something no one else does.
Oh, God, that is so true. Oh, my gosh. That is so, so true.
Well, you know, it is, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And I think this is the perfect age. These kids from 7 to 12 are just learning to separate themselves into individuals. They are starting to make choices and decisions for themselves. Now, often they are very much guided by, you know, the figures around them, which are their parents and teachers and adults around them, which is amazing. But I want to bring up ideas for them to think about and discuss. And some of those ideas is in making those decisions, what works for you, not what works for everyone else, what works for you. And sometimes you have to be a little selfish because it is your life. No one can live it for you. Only you can live it. And you are ultimately responsible for your choices. So this is something I want to bring up into the conversation with them as they're learning to make decisions about their life and going forward.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that what you're saying, it totally resonates with me because my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, excuse me, isn't for little kids. But it's for really for anybody that wants to love their life and to realize that the choices that we make can help us create and live a life that we love, you know. And but we have to listen to our own heart in order to do that. We can't do it by trying to be like somebody else. And I mean, one of the things about your book that's really cool is like the idea of Simon trying to be a cat or Cat trying to be a mouse. I mean, it's just, you know, it's ridiculous. Be who you are.
Exactly. And, you know, there are a couple of times in each book where they have to kind of remind themselves that they are individuals, that they are, you know, individual animals, and they have their own ideas of what they should be doing and their own instincts that they still have to follow. But that doesn't mean that they can't come together as friends and teammates to work together. They just have to accept each other for who they are. And that is the greatest friendship of all, is to be accepted by your friends for exactly who you are, flaws and all.
Yes. yes. Be accepted. Oh my gosh, yeah. And appreciated, you know. It's just so the idea of when people give you appreciation for being who you are, that's like one of the coolest feelings in the whole world.
Right. And you know, we have that a little bit in the second book where we have a situation where Simon is actually mistreating or ill-treating his friend Kat, and it's because of things that happened in the past, and he is so stuck on what he expects her to do, not what she's doing, but what he expects her to do, that he has to stop himself and ask why. Why is he still doing that? Why is he still expecting her to mess up when she's proven time and time again that she's not messing up? And so he has to realize that it has to do with his own ability to trust. And so he has to let go of that and realize that his friendship with Kat is much more important than hanging on to his own sense of distrust, which is something new for Simon. You know, Simon feels like he trusts everybody, except maybe cats, but that's from life experience. But he's learning, and that's the greatest thing that I try to...
What? Oh, my gosh. Donna just dropped. Her call just dropped. So hopefully she'll be back soon. Wow. This is, I have to say that this book series, this is really, really awesome. And I am so happy you are back.
Thank you. I'm not quite sure what happened. But, you know, it's a beautiful series and I love it. And, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, we're presenting, you know, all of these ideas that friendship is a good goal to have, but ultimately you have to get past your own problems to accept other people, because a lot of times you're looking through the lens of what you've experienced
and also
other
what we've
people.
Been taught by other people too, and in this case other animals, you know. And,
right.
And that's one of the things that I really love is the idea of this cat and this mouse being really good friends and sharing their strengths, because usually in real life you would never see a mouse and a cat be friends.
No. No, you would not. And, I mean, they are natural enemies, so which is why we wanted to bring them together, you know, especially, you know, for this series, because we wanted to show the struggle of, you know, sometimes we want to reach out to someone different, but we just don't know how. And they're so different from us. There's such a big gap between what we know and understand that it's a learning curve. And so, you know, in learning things, we have to step outside of ourselves. But, you know, learning and making mistakes is the greatest thing. You know, trying is all that we can do in life. And in trying, you know, we do make mistakes. It's not about succeeding. It is about learning. If you learn something from that mistake, then it is a success.
You know, I'm so glad you said that, because that's one of the things I remember that I taught our son when he was really little, is that took me a long time till he was like growing up to realize that mistakes are just part of learning, and not to feel so bad about it when I made a mistake. And then, and he said one time, and I love this, that mistakes are like stepping stones that take you to success. And if you're not willing to make any mistakes, you can't learn anything new, you know, because anytime you're learning something new, you're going to make some mistakes, but it, like you said, it's so important just to learn from them and remember what you learned, of course.
Right. And, you know, I do say this a lot. You know, perfection teaches you nothing other than that you know how to do something. That, you know, but you already know that, because if you're perfect at it, then you already know you're able to do that. And so I try to look for things that I don't know, and I stretch my imagination writing these books to see how far I can go and how much I can learn. And yes, I stumble, and yes, I make mistakes, but I learn so much in doing that.
Well, you know, I've gotten to the point where I realize that too, and I remember Sarah Blakely talking about the one woman who started Spanx. She said that her father used to ask her every night at the table, what did you fail at today? Because if you weren't failing at something, you weren't trying new things, you know? And so, yeah.
Exactly. We just kind of become complacent with comfort in that, you know, that's, you know, another thing that I try to tell people, if you are comfortable in your life,
mm-hmm.
then you're not trying. You're not succeeding. You're not learning, because the only way that we grow and learn is being uncomfortable.
Yeah, you have to be willing to be uncomfortable. But, you know, being
right.
uncomfortable also helps keep life being exciting. You know?
This is true, because you never know what door or window is going to open to you. I could not have imagined, you know, 5 years ago when I started thinking about writing this series, all
mm-hmm.
the doors and avenues that would be open to me. I would never imagine going into homeless shelters to talk to kids, part of homeless families. I never would have imagined going into schools and talking to kids about friendship and acceptance and inclusion. I never would have imagined that I would be talking to you about my books and how they relate to not only just children, but to everyone. And I think that's true for most children's books. They take grand ideas and bring them down to one idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that they're simple. They're just simplified. And I think there's some merit in that, and sometimes taking away all of the noise and all the ideas and opinions and just say, you know what, this is what it is.
And that's what we all been having to do lately with the whole COVID-19 thing and stay at home orders and everything else, is that everybody's, I can't remember if it was Oprah or somebody had said that we're all like, it's like we all got sent to our room. Just think about life, you know, and it really is true. I mean, it's caused us all to have to look at things in different ways and to start questioning, why was I doing this way, or do I want to continue doing this? And if I do continue doing it, how am I going to do it in the future? And that sort of thing. So that brings us into the idea of momentum and how, you know, a lot of people set goals for their health, their finances, their career, their relationships. And then they, especially lately, I think it's really easy to get stuck and not be building momentum. So I'd like to talk about that a little bit as well, you know, about how we can use this time and build momentum. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I like to say that life happens when we're making plans. And I think this is the ultimate thing where we were all making plans of what we were going to do next week, next month, you know, this
mm-hmm.
summer, all of these things. And, you know, life stepped in and goes, you know what? No, you're not. And so we have to recognize that that is always there. I think sometimes that we get a little sidetracked with our busyness. You know, we don't look at the world as a whole. We get trapped in, oh, you know, the kids are at school being taken care of, I'm at work, you know, all of these things are going on in our lives, and we don't really look at what our lives have become. They've just become
right.
filled with these schedules, and we don't have any real focus other than to get up the next day and just do it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what has happened here is a negative and a positive. It's positive in that it has drawn us into the core of our life to actually look at it and say, this is not really important anymore. This is what's important. Right now, all of these parents are having to pay attention to their children. They
mm-hmm.
are not being able to push off their education and their manners and their ability to interact with people onto educators. They are now the educator. They must rely on their own ideas and thoughts and reach out to these people that have the information and get their children educated. They are now having to focus on those maybe gaps that were missing in their, you know, in their children, but also in themselves. It's like, you know, you just get busy. You get busy and you're pulled away, and it's like you just think that, you know, those gaps are going to fill themselves in, and sometimes they don't. But that's okay. You know, as we said before, life is trying and learning. And right now, we are in a learning curve that, you know, sometimes the self, the core, is what's more important, because you cannot pour from an empty vessel. So if you are not taking care of yourself, then you cannot take care of anyone else. And that extends out to your family. But it's so much more than that, because when you are taking care of yourself and trying to build your own momentum, you are showing the world that you have self-worth. And you're also teaching your children that they as individuals are important. They need to extend themselves to themselves and take care of themselves and have a plan. And so, you know, this overextension of ourselves that we've been going through for so many years is kind of gotten chopped off, you know? And
yeah, I know.
So
I mean,
now
it's like
we
have been going around
in.
Saying, I'm busy. And it's like a almost like a competition of who can be the busiest instead of who can enjoy life most.
Right, exactly that. It's, you know, we get so caught up in, you know, the newest thing that we become over busy, over scheduled. I've been talking about the over scheduled lives of our children for a very long time. Now we are seeing these same children sitting down with books, which I love. I love books are getting a resurgence. You know, they are perfectly portable fun and they don't need a charger. So, you know, that's amazing to me, but also that, you know, we as adults also have more time to extend our knowledge base and education and read more and do things that serve us more than serving others. I know that serving others is a great ambition, but again, I have to go back to this quote, you cannot pour from an empty vessel. So if you're not filling yourself with the good, then you can't pour out good.
You know, that is such an important thing. So I'm glad that you brought it up again, because, you know, there's so many people that think that taking good care of themselves is being selfish. Well, you have to be selfish enough to take good care of yourself, or else, like you said, you don't have anything to give to others. I luckily realized that when our son was about 9 years old, and realized at the time I wasn't even on my list. But, you know, it. But yeah, but that's so important. Gosh, the time is going by so incredibly fast. I wish I had scheduled it for a longer show. But anyway, it's. I'm going to have you back on when we can talk longer. But anyway, so.
No problem.
You were going to talk about a little bit about the book 3 as well. So did you want to talk about that for a few minutes before we wrap this up?
Sure. So in 3, that's with The Passion of a Pig, we have the superhero school classmates come back together for another assignment, and they find that their teacher at superhero school is missing. And Kat doesn't seem to really be engaged, because she has also not been able to connect back with her adoptive mother, Mrs. G, who's also the town matriarch, who is also missing. And so they're a little concerned after coming back from saving all these animals in book 2 that their two most important adults are not able to be found. And so Patty Porter, who is the pig, she's tech savvy. She steps forward for the team, and she is able to track Mrs. G's phone to the portal that the monkeys used in book 2, and also the one portal that Kat came through in book 1 to come to Sweet Meadows. And so they're a little concerned what has happened to Mrs. G. They think that maybe she's gone looking for the still missing animals that the monkeys took. So they go looking for her, and they find the portal, and they step through, and something interesting happens. that makes their mission even more complicated. When they go through the portal, Patty, Freddy, Simon, and their friend Bash all turn into children, but Kat does not. Kat remains a cat, but they're in the real world in California, and she has just reverted back to a normal cat, but they are all children, and she cannot communicate with them. And it complicates matters because now they are not animals, they are children, and they must figure out how to make their way through the real world and try and find Mrs. G and the missing animals, which they now realize are probably children as well. So it's an interesting twist on this story. So I absolutely love the story. As I said, I'm working through the final edits and illustrations on it. It's an amazing story. It's about, you know, it's about redemption, but sometimes it's also about forgiveness because they learn some things about Mrs. G and book three that they're not quite sure whose side she's really on. So we have some interesting takes on it. And then I have already begun working on book four, which is the With the Heart of a Hero. And our lovable tree frog, Freddie Flickerson, is going to step forward and take center stage as they all return to superhero school that is in chaos.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. We only have 3 minutes left. So what would you like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I want to leave them with a couple of quotes that are coming from book two that I absolutely love. So we have one from Cat the Cat, and I want you to think about this one. This is one of my favorite quotes from book two. Friends are not toys you can throw aside, then expect them to be right there when you return. And she's right. So many times we set aside our friendships and we don't realize that they are not going to continue to be there. Friendship requires work. And then we have Simon, who says he was a terrible superhero partner, taking Cat's trust and friendship for granted. He was selfish. He could learn to compromise starting now as her best friend.
Oh, you know, oh my gosh, I am so glad you wrote these books. I really love them, and I highly recommend them. And you're right, I mean, they're full of life lessons and reminders for us as adults as well, not just for the kids. But I wish that you'd had these books out when our son was growing up, but hopefully at some point he'll have a child and we can, they can read them too. But thank you
thank you for having me. And I so appreciate, you know, a good fan. And as I tell anybody, these are written for children. Everyone can learn something from a children's book.
So true. Well, I hope that everyone out there will share this with their friends and their family and get the kids reading. And oh my gosh, books are so awesome.
Yes, they are. They transport you to worlds that you could never visit.
Oh, so true. So true. Well, anyway, I will look forward to having you on again and to talk to you about book three later.
Yes, well, it's coming soon. So, yes, we'll be back to talk about book three and possibly some sneaks into book four.
That sounds wonderful. Bye for now, Donna. Bye for now, everyone. Thank you, Donna, for all the ways you live your music. And everyone out there, remember, live your music. It's how to make life more fun and also to share with others. So, bye for now. Bye, everybody.